Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Garden of Gethsemane Spiritual Assembly, Health Talk Radio. Okay, I'm sure many, while some might be rejoicing, there are many that are heavy heart at this time because we never imagined that we would see this day before us. However, it is what it is, and I still believe that the Most High allows, and with that in mind, this is a time when we must encourage ourselves, trust in the Most High, and let the Spirit of Yah be our guide and guide our steps. Okay, I'm going to share with you are one of the another a recall, recent recall. It's the one premium Norwegian salmon smoked like 8 ounces, 227 grams. But it's best sold by 2/23/2017, and salmon, turbot, butterfish, smoked slice in an 8 ounce sold by 10/20/2016 because it has the potential to be contaminated with Listeria monocytogen organisms which can cause serious and sometimes fatal infections in young children, frail or elderly people, and others with weakened immune system. although healthy individuals may suffer only short-term symptoms such as high fever, severe headache, stiffness, nausea, abdominal pain, and diarrhea, Listeria infection can cause miscarriages and stillbirths among premium Nigerian smoked salmon, smoked rice. Okay, and it has here the UPC number 8566874428. Now, salmon, turbo, butterfish, smoked slice, 8 ounce package with UPC, hashtag 8570044488. I know I'm going through this rather quickly, rather briefly, but you can pull up the alerts from the Food and Drug Administration and follow through and retrieve this information as well. It says the items were distributed by refrigerated trucks through retail stores and warehouses between December the 15th to October the 16th to October, I'm sorry, from December 2015 to October 2016 in New York, New Jersey, Maryland, Pennsylvania, Missouri, California, Virginia, Florida, Connecticut, Texas, Illinois, Georgia, and both items are packaged in a plastic vacuum pack bag. No illness has been reported to the date. The recall was a result of a routine sampling program by the Florida Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services Division of Food Safety, which revealed the presence of Listeria monocytes. Customers who have purchased the product are urged to return them for a full. They contact the company at 717-675-0706. Thank you again for tuning in and for listening. And I'm going to share a little bit of encouraging words with you today. And that was the one, where did I put my very little, got things all sorted, misordered here today. Okay. Well, I did have this piece of material here, but in hand, I'm going to go on and share this. But it is not exactly, there's something else that I wanted to include, but this is a part of the program that I wanted to share with you. So for now, I'm going to see. It's on... You can understand Bible prophets. Okay, dual promises. If that's where I want to start. I'm going to start here. Duality in Bible promises. Prophetic statements sometimes apply to more than one fulfillment, a principle we could call duality. A prime example of duality is Christ's first coming to atone for our sins in his second coming to rule as King of Kings. That's what we are all, the moment, the day, the time that we are anticipating. Excuse me. Also, the Bible speaks of someone's descendants as his seed. In some passages, the word seed implies both an individual, the Messiah, and multiple descendants, people of Israelites descent. Dual themes are common in Scripture. The Apostle Paul, for example, wrote about the first man, Adam, becoming a living being, and the last Adam, Yeshua, Messiah, Jesus Christ, becoming a life-giving spirit. 1 Corinthians 15:45, Paul noted that physical circumstances was evidence of God's covenant with Abraham's offspring, but God defines relationship, but God defines spiritual circumcision, converted heart, as the key to a Christian's relationship with Yah. With the Romans chapter 2, verses 27 and 28. Paul wrote that the spirituality circumcised the church rather than a physical race of people as being the Israel of Yah. Galatians 6:16. Yeshua specifically alluded to the dual application of some prophecies in Matthew chapter 17, verse 11 and 12. Asked about the prophecy of Elijah, who would precede the coming of the Messiah, Malachi 4 and 5. Yeshua responded, "Indeed, Elijah is coming first and will restore all things, but I say to you that Elijah has come already." The disciples understood that the Elijah who had come already was John the Baptist. Verse 13. But Christ's clear implication was that another Elijah would precede his second coming, announcing his return just as John the Baptist preceded Christ's first coming. Another prophecy is Yeshua's Olivet prophecy, Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21. So named because he gave it on the Mount of Olives overlooking Jerusalem. Many conditions described in this prophecy existed in the days leading up to the Roman siege and destruction of Jerusalem in A.D. 70. But Christ makes it clear that similar conditions would prevail shortly before his return. In the Olive prophecy, Yeshua spoke of an abomination of desolation, Daniel's prophecy. About the domination of desolation was fulfilled in 167 BC But Yeshua pointed out that the prophecy would have a future fulfillment, the coming domination of declaration beginning that begins in written here in this materials on page 54. I won't go there right now. We must carefully examine the context of prophecies to understand their meaning and discern whether the prophecy seemed incomplete at its first fulfillment. It is equally important to avoid reading dualty into passages that do not support such interpretation. We should take great care of properly discern whether dualty is a factor in any particular prophecy. We should also understand that virtually all interpretations of how prophecies may be fulfilled are speculative to some degree, And often, we may recognize a prophecy's fulfillment only after it is well underway or already has taken place. Okay, I found the material that I was looking for. Actually, it's funny thing. I can't believe that I actually said when it. Okay, I'm almost finished with this portion here. Cause and effect in prophecy. Another fundamental principle applicable to Bible prophecy is the correlation of cause and effect. Cause and effect is often implicit in foretelling events. Human nature is quite predictable, especially to God, who made us and knows how we think. Therefore, Yah, God, can foretell broad trends and resulting disasters based on his understanding of cause and effect. Another way, Yah allows people to reap what they sow. Galatians 6, 7, and 8. Individually and many times collectively. He does this for our long-term benefit. Many of the calamities that come on people are the consequences of their own sins and hostility toward each other. The prophet Jeremiah well expressed this principle. Your own wickedness corrects you, and your backslidings will improve you. Jeremiah 2:19. However, God sometimes exercises control over the circumstances of human activities and conflicts to accomplish his objectives. At times, he dramatically intervene to alter the course of history. His actions, including personal and collective punishment, are tools he uses to accomplish a greater purpose. Yah spoke of the cause and effect principle to Moses when he gave ancient Israel his law. God Moses to warn Israel, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments. Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28 illustrates God's blessing for obedience and punishment for disobedience. It's good that we should be aware, and it helps us to have a better reflection, a better picture. An understanding, understanding of what is going on, what's present before us right now. A lot of people in this country are fearful because we don't know what the outcome is going to be. When you can understand, you get down to the root cause, and it helps you to see, to understand, and to do what it is that you must do yourself, you, me, each one of us, individually and collectively, to become in right accord, right alignment with the Creator, and to be what the Creator has called us, created us to be at such a time as this. Now, I think right now I'm going to attempt to play this clip. Let's see.
Scholars and scientists now concede that Africa is the birthplace of mankind. Africans were the first builders of civilization. They discovered mathematics, invented writing, developed sciences, engineering, medicine, religion, fine arts, and built the Great Pyramids. An architectural achievement which still baffles modern science.
The 225th emperor, direct descent from Solomon and the Queen of Sheba. He is the King of Kings, the Lion of Judah. The name Haile Selassie.
the people, motherland representer. I'm on trial with the man, she my co-defendant, and I demand her attention. Can you focus, woman? I'm getting closer to the sky every time I hit it. Haile Selassie, power of the Trinity, soul made in Niger, my vice made in Italy. White man's world that I'm living in, some say, but it was Africa, the continent we all came from. Can't nothing come between me and you. So before I have seeds, gotta understand my roots, gotta understand the truth. We is all kings round here. Life's not all fair. Work till we fall dead. Lord, going hard till I earn like a pauper. Although my body's in the U.S., my heart's there. I can never be ashamed of her. I got my features and my name from her. Mama Africa.
To reach a place on earth, know just what you're worth. Talking about the God you serve. Did you say that in the dark? Africa, we claim it as their own, Africa, but now we must stand tall to break down all these walls. Our children must be taught of Africa, the science and the arts of Africa. Educate yourselves, Africa. To liberate yourselves, Africa. Keep your heads up high. No more will we cry. Beautiful art thou, Africa. A legend of the bow, Africa.
Share this with you, and I'm sure, I'm certain that many of us can truly, truly relate and identify with this portion of scripture here. But what it talks about, okay, it tells us that as a young man, Daniel, along with three others, to be known as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I'm sure you've heard of those, I'm sure. Many of us have heard those, know the story about how they were thrown into the furnace. They're taken from their home in Jerusalem to serve the king of Babylon. Now, what does that sound like? Okay, taken from our home to serve from another land. Daniel's God-given ability to interpret dreams endears him to King Nebuchadnezzar, whose vision of a huge statue, Daniel says, represents existing and future kingdom. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego find trouble when they disobey an order to bow before the statue of Nebuchadnezzar. As punishment, they're thrown into a fiery furnace where they are projected by an angelic being like the Son of Yah. And the next Babylonian king, Belshazzar, throws a drinking party using cups stolen from the Temple of Jerusalem. He literally sees the writing on the wall, which Daniel interprets as soon to come takeover of Babylon by the Medes. The Median king, Darius, keeps Daniel as an advisor, but is tricked into passing a law designed by other jealous officials to hurt Daniel, who ends up in a den of lions. Once again, Yah protects his people. Daniel spending a night by the schemers, who are mauled by the hungry beasts. The final six chapters contain Daniel's prophetic visions, including that of 70 weeks time. That should encourage us. They encourage, knowing that these things are prophesied, that what we see before us now, it is prophesied. But I hope it will not be the end for us. We'll be protected, we'll be covered, we'll be kept. We have come a long way, and only by the grace and the mercy and the loving care of our heavenly Father has kept us this far. A God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand. My God has sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth that they have not hurt me. Oh, my God, we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercy. Blessed be the name. Give thanks and stay encouraged no matter what happens, goes on. We know who is in control, and we know who and whose we are, who we belong to, and that he is able to keep and provide and protect his own. We are the children of Israel. We are God's children, the promised children of promise. And he loves us dearly, and he cares for us, and we must keep that in mind. Keep our heart and our mind and our focus on the one that cares, the one that cares for us. And he will correct anything and everything that's concerning us. Just one thing for sure. Yah is not a man, cannot lie. Whatever the Most High has said, it shall come to pass. It shall do it. Will not return back unto him void. He's not a man that can lie, nor the Son of Man that should repent. Know who you are, whose you are, that your Maker, our Creator, cares for us. Will not leave us, will not forsake us. Is greater and more powerful than anything that we might encounter in this world. All things in this world is temporal. And as I just spoke with you not so long ago, you will reap what you sow. So any harm, anyone that's digging a ditch, they will find themselves going into it. But no one will be able to help them. No one is able to go against the Almighty and conquer. We're more than conquerors because the Almighty is within us, which explains why it should be clear why after all these years, after all they have tried to do to us, we're still here because the Y'all has a plan and a purpose for our lives. Be blessed. I'm Sister Rizonia at the Garden of Gethsemane Radio. And I hope all is well. Stay blessed. Stay focused. Stay encouraged. We have to encourage ourselves. Pray for one another. Peace.